this hour's top stories, the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says, and the anti-Israel struggle will continue until the full liberation of Al-Aqsa Mosque. Brazil reports over 1,600 new deaths from the coronavirus and nearly 43,000 additional cases in 24 hours. And at least three people are killed in a Texas shooting hours after another shooting left three dead in Wisconsin, with U.S. police hunting for suspects. And those were the top stories of this hour. Palestinian Islamic Resistance Movement Hamas says the anti-Israeli struggle will continue until the full liberation of Al-Aqsa Mosque from the grips of the Zionist regime. In a statement, the movement said the inhabitants of Jerusalem Al-Quds are facing Israel's extremely racist plans and violations. It urged all Palestinians, particularly those who live in the occupied West Bank, to travel to the Al-Aqsa Mosque to defend and protect the holy site there. Israeli soldiers have frequently harassed Palestinian worshippers in the mosque. On Thursday, regime troops stormed the compound and arrested dozens of worshippers. Israeli soldiers also obstructed the arrival of Palestinian worshippers for prayers the next day. To discuss this a little bit further, I'm going to bring in Mr. Robert Fentina. He's an author and journalist, as well as an activist who comes to you via Skype out of Kitchener, Ontario. Sir, it's good to have you with us. Tell me what you think about this latest developments.
Hamas is attempting to do what the government of Palestine should do, and that's protecting its people, protecting its cultural sites. The violations that Israel is committing against Palestinians at the Al-Aqsa Mosque are in violation of international law. International law states clearly that the occupier must allow all religious traditions to continue, religious observances, and must protect all cultural sites, which this mosque certainly is. So Israel is once again in violation, or continuing in violation, of international law in this regard, as it is in many others. The Hamas spokespeople are saying that this will not be permitted, that the Palestinian people are not going to allow this to happen.
Robert Fentina, tell me, do you think, how much realistic do you think this is, to think that by resistance only, because there is no time frame for that, this can be achieved? Or better yet, don't you think that, you know, some kind of an international leverage should also come to help this cause?
There certainly should be international intervention in this. The international community has failed for decades to act against blatant crimes against humanity, violation of international law that Israel continually commits. Lacking that, the people of Palestine need to make the occupation as difficult for the occupiers as possible, so they will finally just give up. But this is not going to happen unless there is more support from outside of Palestine. People around the world support Palestine. It's their governments that don't. So people in all countries have to work to encourage their governments and to demand that their governments see that Israel adhere to international law and cease these unspeakable violations of human rights.
Yes. And one last thing, Robert Fentina, resistance movements all over West Asia region have become stronger and stronger. And, you know, I believe this is going to be the trend for the next few years, if not a few months. How much do you think, first of all, the idea itself of these resistance movements getting stronger, and, you know, they actually getting stronger on the ground, perhaps I'm saying, you know, within the next few years, will turn the tables on the morale of the Israeli cabinet, of the Israeli forces, that perhaps, you know, that they're going to take it easier and concede to some extent?
They're already seeing resistance that is was unheard of a few years ago. Mm. For example, in the U.S. government, where up until just a few years ago, everyone in the government supported Israel no matter what it did, no matter what crimes it committed, crimes against humanity, this has changed drastically in the last few years, with more and more progressives coming to power and condemning Israel and Israeli actions. So that's one example. But as more and more of these resistance movements grow, people will learn that it is they who have the power. The government only has as much power as the people give it. And the people give it power and the people can take it away. We're going to be seeing more of that in the coming years, I hope.
Mm-hmm. Robert Fantina, author, journalist, and activist out of Kitchener, Ontario. It was good to speak to you, sir. Have a good day. A senior leader of the Palestinian resistance movement, Hamas, says it will force Tel Aviv to release Palestinian inmates being held in Israeli jails. Khaled Mishal said Tel Aviv does not free Palestinian prisoners through negotiations or bargaining. He stressed that Hamas and other Palestinian factions are determined to secure the freedom of the detainees. Mishal stressed that Hamas is pursuing all available means to alleviate the suffering of the prisoners and release them. He made the comments on Sunday in a televised interview on the occasion of Palestinian Prisoners' Day. According to Palestinian organizations supporting prisoners' rights, some 4,500 Palestinian inmates are behind bars in Israeli jails. Paul Larudi with the Freedom or Free Palestine Movement says the Israeli regime will not release Palestinian prisoners, but through force.
So I think this is an accurate statement. I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow, but force is the way to get the Palestinian prisoners released. I think that some kind of force, and a lot of force, is necessary to free Palestine. The means need to be there, and the will needs to be there. And there are various ways that it can be accomplished, I think, if those two are present, the means and the will. I've actually worked with organizations that have paid the ransom that that Israel often requests for in order to release prisoners, especially prisoners that are suffering in Israeli jails and are due to be released, but might die or have terrible consequences if they're not released sooner. So, I mean, these negotiations go on, and money is usually the means of releasing them.
Palestinians have slammed the UAE over congratulating Israel on its so-called Independence Day, an occasion considered by Palestinians as a catastrophe, marking the beginning of their displacement from their homeland in 1948. Mona Kandil reports.
The United Arab Emirates has sparked anger among Palestinians by congratulating Israel on its so-called Independence Day, declared in 1948. The occasion is marked by Palestinians as the beginning of their displacement from their homeland. They view the day as the Nakba, or Catastrophe Day.
What Israelis are marking is the day of our catastrophe, the day Palestinians were slaughtered by Zionist gangs. Hundreds of thousands of them were displaced from their homes and lands. The UAE should have sent a message to condemn the daily crimes and oppression committed by the Israeli soldiers as settlers against the Palestinians.
The UAE Embassy in Tel Aviv published a tweet wishing a happy Independence Day to the citizens of Israel, posting a photo of the Israeli and Emirati flags side by side. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu replied by thanking the UAE.
The UAE has not only normalized ties with Israel, but also raised the ties to a new level. The UAE is also becoming Israel's partner in its aggression against the Palestinian people. The congratulation message comes as Israel is preventing Palestinians from entering the Al-Aqsa Mosque.
The UAE was among the first Arab countries to agree to normalize ties with Israel in 2020 under the so-called Abraham Accords, a pact brokered by former U.S. President Donald Trump. Bahrain, Morocco, and Sudan signed normalization deals with the Israeli regime shortly afterwards. Palestinians have angrily slammed normalization of ties between Israel and Arab states, including UAE. They say that since then, those states have been continuing to reward the regime and giving up the Holy Lands. Mona Kandil, occupied Ramallah.
Brazilian officials have reported nearly 43,000 new confirmed cases of COVID-19, pushing the country's total infections to over 13.9 million. authorities in the world's second worst hit country, I should say, in terms of deaths, also recorded more than 1,600 new COVID-19 fatalities, bringing the South American nation's toll to more than 373,000. The outbreak has recently reached a critical phase in the country due to a lack of federal restrictions, a patchy vaccine rollout, and the new homegrown variant. Meanwhile, elsewhere in Latin America, Mexico reported over 1,500 new confirmed cases and 111 fatalities. Latest figures take the country's infections to over 2.3 million and deaths to more than 212,000. The government, however, says the real numbers are likely significantly higher. Well, Turkey has reported 318 new deaths, the country's highest daily tally since the pandemic began. Data released from the Turkish Health Ministry puts the country's cumulative fatalities at just under 36,000 people. Other European nations are also struggling to stem the spread of the virus amid a slow rollout of COVID-19 vaccines. Italy, one of the hardest hit countries on the continent, has reported nearly 117 deaths. Meanwhile, the French Health Ministry said the number of patients in intensive care units has surged amid a nationwide lockdown to stem a third wave of the outbreak. The country's death toll now stands at over 100,000. Now, Iran has registered a new record number of COVID-19 fatalities in months. According to the Health Ministry, 405 people died of the coronavirus in 24 hours, bringing the total deaths to well over 66,000, unfortunately. More than 21,000 new infections were also reported. Now, the overall cases in the country have surpassed 2.2 million. This comes as a days-long national lockdown remains in place to help stem the spread of the virus. Hundreds of Iranian cities are marked as dangerous or highly dangerous in terms of infections. And now an Iranian pharmaceutical company called Osve says its COVID-19 jab dubbed Osvid will be available before autumn. Our correspondent Human Abedi has a report.
The factory in the south of Tehran, where a new vaccine named Osvid would be produced within a few months to immune people against the deadly coronavirus. The name is taken from the pharmaceutical company that is developing the vaccine in collaboration with a knowledge-based firm. The joint project will soon be tested on humans to be mass-produced in the capital, Tehran.
Given that the initial phases of the Osvid-19 are completed and the earlier stages, including the animal phase, were carried out on rats and monkeys successfully, we need to launch this mass production line, and now we are prepared.
I asked the officials whether the formula is imported from other countries or it is indigenous, and this was the answer.
Not even a single word of the 420-page project of the vaccine has been non-native. It's fully developed in Iran. We took samples from the first patients at the beginning of the pandemic. Then it was characterized, inactivated, and cultivated. The job has been a very complicated teamwork and totally indigenous.
Right now, the company is producing the vials, and as the manager said, they can produce up to 6,000 every hour. They also told us that there is a capacity to produce about 20 million doses of the jab in a year. After the official ceremony in which the vial was unveiled, the vice president for science and technology launched the production line.
Within the past few years, very good things have been achieved in the domain of vaccine production in the country. This year, we have several corona vaccines to be mass-produced. This vial production line is a very important infrastructure for other companies that are developing the vaccine.
The Osvid vaccine must be injected in two stages with a three-week interval.
Iran says the second phase of vaccination against COVID-19 will begin in early May, and at this stage, about 15 million people would be vaccinated against the coronavirus. To this end, the country needs about 30 million doses of the vaccine, out of which a great number will be homemade ones. Human Abedi, Tehran.
To another one of our headline stories at this hour. At least three people have been killed in a shooting in the U.S. city of Austin, Texas. The incident took place at an apartment complex near a popular shopping area in the city's northwest. The police said the shooter is still at large. The authorities maintain that the incident was a domestic one and does not pose any threat to the general public. Another overnight shooting incident has claimed 3 lives in the city of Kenosha, Wisconsin. The issue of gun violence has turned to a matter of national concern in the U.S. Earlier, President Joe Biden called the recent spate of shootings a national embarrassment. There are currently about 393 million civilian-owned firearms in the U.S. Last year, nearly 20,000 Americans were killed in shootings. American criminal defense attorney Jack Rice says the U.S. politician's response to the staggering number of shooting victims is silence.
We have seen some extraordinary mass shootings, including one in Las Vegas, that killed massive numbers of people. And the response to that was nothing. We saw this with children being killed in their schools, and the answer is nothing. There is a large swath of Americans who fight at every single point to limit the use of firearms, specifically the use of if we look at the numbers, we know that 3/4 of Americans want to see some regulation when it comes to this issue. The numbers are astounding, the number of innocents who die, but also the number of people who kill themselves by their own hand with firearms. We also know the number of people who are completely incompetent to actually have them. We had a mass shooting here in the Twin Cities. I'm coming to you from Minneapolis. There was a police officer who just killed a kid in the street a couple of days ago. And it's all over the news because I'm where that Chauvin trial is happening, too. So if you look at what's happening, there needs to be a shift and an understanding and an acceptance that if we simply do nothing, there will be thousands and thousands and thousands of more loved ones who are going to be put in the ground someplace, who are going to be buried because they don't care. This cannot be normalized. This has to be something different, and something absolutely has to change in the States.
People in the U.S. city of Chicago hold a peace walk to remember a 13-year-old boy fatally shot by a police officer. Demonstrators called for changes in policing and an end to gun violence. Several vigils were also held in the city. The events followed the release of body camera footage showing a police officer shooting Adam Toledo shortly after the boy dropped a gun and raised his hands. Largely peaceful demonstrations have been held every day since the video was released on Thursday. Demonstrations have also highlighted other racially charged killings by police, including the death of George Floyd and the fatal shooting of another black man, Daunte Wright, in Minneapolis. Well, that's about it for me for now.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
the month of God. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam and welcome to the program. We are with you with another episode of the special series for Ramadan. The blessed month of Ramadan is a very important opportunity for self-building and expurgation of the soul and heart. Human being should first know himself and then should embark on self-building. Self-building means to reform the soul and heart by removing vices and evil characteristics. According to religious leaders, knowing the self will lead to knowing God. And once man knows God, he will move in his way and will try to change his thoughts and deeds according to what God likes. Self-building means paying close attention to one's spirit and moral features. In view of this, the blessed month of Ramadan is a suitable time to return man to his main reality. Then he will try to remember God more while living among people. Once some people told a sage, "We know a man who walks on water without being drowned." The sage said, "It is an easy job because frogs can also do like this." Then they told him, "We know a man who flies in the air." The sage said, "This is easy too, because flies and mosquitoes do the same." Then they continued, "We know a man who goes from one city to another city in a moment." The sage smiled and said, "This is easier than the previous ones, because the Satan also goes from the east to the west in a blink of an eye. These things have no value at all." Then he stood up and said in a loud voice, "Real man is the one who associates with his fellow men and buys and sells among them. He consorts with people, but he is not in oblivion of God for even a single moment." Fasting is obligatory for the persons who have these conditions. Number one, maturity. Number two, wisdom. It means that mad people cannot fast. Number three, physical ability. Hence, senile men and women and sick ones cannot fast. Number four, consciousness. Number five, being in one's hometown and not a traveler. As it was said in the previous episode, there are other conditions for making fasting obligatory, some of which pertain to ladies, and each of these conditions that were mentioned have details which should be taken into account. Here, it should be noted carefully that mere weakness is not an excuse and justification for breaking one's fast. Naturally, when you abstain from eating and drinking for long hours, especially in summer, it is difficult, but it shouldn't be a pretext to abandon this divine obligation. Prayer and supplication at the time of iftar or breaking the fast is very much recommended by Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, and his infallible successors. Imam Ali, peace upon him, has recommended this supplication to be read at this time. In the name of God, O God, we have fasted for you and break our fast with your sustenance. So accept from us. Indeed, you are the hearing, the knowing. It is also narrated to recite Surah Qadr at the time of iftar. It is narrated that the Prophet used to break the fast with dates. Once the Prophet told Imam Ali, "O Ali, the month of Ramadan has approached. Before iftar pray, Gabriel came to me and said, O messenger of God, he who reads this prayer before iftar in the month of Ramadan, God will accept that prayer, his daily ritual prayer and fasting, and he will accept 10 of his prayers, forgive his sin, remove his grief, remove his hardships, meet his needs, take him to his purpose, exalt his deed along with that of the apostles and Siddiq, and his face will be brighter than the full moon on Judgment Day. Dear listeners, you will hear the prayer after the break. Is a prayer which has a lot of rewards, and the Prophet of Islam told Imam Ali to recite it before iftar. My God, O Lord of the lofty light, and the Lord of the exalted throne, and Lord of the boiling sea, and Lord of the great intercession and the invincible light, O Lord of the Torah and the Evangel, and the Psalms and the exalted Quran, you are the God of whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth. And there is no God in the heavens and the earth except you. You are the one who has dominated whatever is in the heavens and the earth. And there is no dominant among them except you. You are the king and owner of whoever is in the heavens and the earth. And there is no king in them except you. I ask you by your great name and your light that has illuminated everything, and by your whole kingdom, O the one who is alive and life of everything depends on him. I ask you by your name, whereby everything has become radiant, and by the name that has illuminated the heavens and the earth, and by the name that reforms the former and latter generations. O you who have been alive before every living and will be alive after every living, O living who there is no Lord but you, send greetings to Muhammad and the progeny of Muhammad and forgive me, and grant me an opening and comfort in my affairs, and make me stable in the religion, guidance and practice of Muhammad and progeny of Muhammad, blessings of God upon them. And accept my deed and grant me what you have granted your friends and those who obey you, as I believe in you and trust in you and repent before you while my fate is in your hand and I come to you. Accumulate for me, my wife and children, every good thing and avert from me, my wife and children, every evil. You are the merciful and giver of bounties who has created the heavens and the earth without any sample. You are the one who grants good things to whomever he wants and averts them from whomever he wants. So, show me favor in granting me good things by your mercy, O most merciful of the merciful.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers and Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
answering your doubts and questions, and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman, Allah, who is Al-Mannan.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum and welcome to yet another edition from series of Q&A in Islamic Beliefs from IRIB English Radio. In these series of shows, we are trying to ask and answer some doubts and misconceptions which is usually being asked by different questioners in theological and Islamic issues. So, for this series of shows, we have been inviting scholars and researchers from Qom Seminary Schools. Like always, we have Sheikh Murtada Karimi in the studio with us, and we shall start our questions with him. But before starting the discussion, I'd like to welcome Sheikh and say salam to Sheikh Murtada.
Wa alaikum salam, and thank you for having me.
Thanks for accepting the invitation, Sheikh. Dear brothers and sisters, the question of the day actually is the continuation of our previous show, which was concerning the harms and the bad effects of porn industry on the mind and, let's say, psyche and the soul of a person. Actually, it was covered from an Islamic perspective in our previous session, and it was actually answered and explained in depth that what Islam says with regard to watching pornography, watching porn videos, or let's say porn pictures. Now we want to look into the harms of this unfortunate and harms and bad effects of this this phenomena on the soul of the human being, on the mind of a person, and the bad effects that it might have to the brain of a person. So it can be a sort of scientific discussion here, as we are done with the Islamic perspective on this issue. We said that it is haram totally, so we are not allowed to watch or see and look at any of those scenes or pictures or videos. Now we want to see what are the probable harms and bad effects of this phenomena on the soul of a human being. Sheikhana, this was the question that we received it, and now we are waiting for enlightenment on the issue.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As you rightly mentioned, we said that Islam is against producing pornography and watching that. But when it comes to today's science, it's not the matter of religion anymore. Almost, we can say that all the scholars agree that pornography is against the health of one's psyche and brain. So we know that pornography is not showing only a sexual relation. It is presenting a culture for the people. It is presenting a sexual example for the people.
Yeah.
And that is why it is harmful. The point is that let me refer to some of these harms. First of all, we know that at least in many cases, women are humiliated in this unfortunate industry.
Mm-hmm.
So woman is only a means for satiating the lust of the men, at least in most of the cases. So the honor of women is absolutely disrespected in pornography. Besides that, we know that in pornography, some fantasies are created for the men. I mean, they think, I mean, watching the videos, men may come to this conclusion that the way that they have sexual desires, they have sexual relations with their wives, is far away from the one that they are watching in these videos. Because, as I mentioned, these videos they make some fantasies for the men. Now, it's been mentioned by the scientists that the men who get used to watching videos, in a short term, or at least in long term, they will get somehow, let's put it this way, disappointed with their own wives. They do not feel, I mean, their sexual desires are not going to be satiated anymore in their intimate relation with their wives. Or it doesn't make any difference even for women who watch such videos. After some time, they feel that they are not sexually satiated by their husbands. Mm-hmm. What is the reason? The reason is that they have watched many videos, and those videos, as I mentioned, they are showing some fantasies, and now these people wait for the same in their real life. They do not achieve it, and they get disappointed, and statistics have showed that the number of divorce, which is the result of watching pornography, is, I mean, for the men and women who get used to watching pornography, the possibility of getting divorced is more compared to the people who are away from that. And one of the main reasons is the fact that, as I mentioned, after getting used to watching porn videos, they somehow, their expectations from their mate increase. They wait for the same fantasies that they see in the porn movies.
Very true.
And that is why their sexual desires are not satiated. They get disappointed, and it would lead to divorce. So mm-hmm. it's been scientifically proved that, according to the statistics, at least the possibility of getting divorced for people who are away from watching porn videos is much less than the people who get used to that.
Sheikhana, can we liken the harms of this phenomenon to the harms that actually Islam can be seen in the harms of the music? Like, by music, I mean the ghina music, which is technically called in Islamic terminology as ghina. Mm-hmm. You see, the ghina music actually brings the human being into fantasy, actually, and makes him distant from the reality, and does not let him to live in whatever he has to be, or he must to be, or she must to be. So the same thing actually can be applied to these sexual sins that brings to the human being and makes him distant and away from what the reality is. And when he faces the reality, for example, his halal partner, he finds that he cannot be the same as what he has seen already. So I think the hurma, or the unlawfulness of it, comes from this source. Can it be looked as this as well?
Yeah, this is interesting, and let me confirm what you mentioned by referring to a research done by some of the Western scholars. I think they were from Cambridge University. They have come to this conclusion that the brain of those people who get used to watching videos, porn videos, is somehow like the people who are addicted to drinking alcohol or consuming drugs.
Very true.
So this is very interesting. I mean, as you rightly mentioned, we may compare it to listening to music, which make people away from reality. And alcohol and drug, they also do the same. I mean, making people away from reality, living in fantasies.
Mm.
Now, according to this research by some of the scholars from Cambridge University, watching porn videos has the same effect. I mean, the brain of these people is exactly like the brain of alcoholic people, or the one who are addicted to consuming drugs. And we know that Islam is the religion of reality. And not only Islam, I mean, every human being needs to live a real life and not to live in fantasies. it's been also proved that watching porn videos, it increases the secretion of special hormones in a person's body. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any difference if you're a woman and or if you are a man. It is proved in science that hormone secretion, I mean, some hormone secretion will be increased after and during watching porn videos. And it leads to the brain to become somehow tired and a kind of fatigue for the brain, and it in a long term it will affect a person's memory and concentration. Again, I repeat, I'm not talking about Islamic researchers. These are done by Western scholars or Eastern scholars, irrespective of their religion.
Very true.
They have come to this conclusion that watching the porn videos will lead to some hormones secretion, and the secretion of these hormones will come to one's losing his memories and concentration, at least in the long term.
Very true.
The other problem is for the kids. Nowadays, unfortunately, we know that many teenagers, they are also getting used to watching porn videos because of the fact that there is no control over watching the videos by the parents or by the website and so on and so forth. Scholars believe that especially for teenagers and kids below 14 years of age, it's absolutely harmful to their brain, and it will bring about great changes in their behavior. Imagine, mm-hmm. A child who doesn't know anything about the sexual relations between the people, including his or her parents, suddenly he sees all these, explicit scenes in such movies. It would drastically change their mindset, even in their relation, the relation between themselves and their parents.
True.
And especially for the kids, for the teenagers, in the long term, it will lead to a very negative consequence. And it's been mentioned that it's very likely for these kids to, get mature much earlier than the normal age, and then begin because they are not able to get married, to begin masturbation. And again, we have studies which tell us that about the harms of masturbation, especially when it comes to teenagers and kids. So all in all, we can conclude that watching pornography is harmful to the families.
And also the side effects that it brings actually about, as you said, actually it makes some youngsters to move towards masturbation, which also on the other hand is harmful to the health of the person, and also actually it brings a sort of internal conflict in the mind and
exactly.
in the brain of the person, and makes it unfortunately in a mess. So even the side effects of it is not that good. When regardless of what actually you said, that it humiliates a human being in general first, mm-hmm. the man or the woman who are involved in such
That's
actions.
True.
And then on the other hand, the kids and youngsters who are affected by the side effects of it.
So at the end of the day, I believe that the foundation of family is threatened by pornography.
Very true.
Whether it is the relation between wife and husband or the relation between the children and their parents.
Very beautiful.
It would be highly threatened by this unfortunate industry.
From any aspect, if we look at this, when we see the philosophy behind what Islam says, it is haram or it is not allowed to be watched or to be seen and to be looked at, actually shows itself here in the outcome of it. If so, as it was said in the show, porn industry actually affects different fundamentals, different foundations, the foundation of family, the foundation, the foundation of the family, the relationship between actually the mental damage that it brings to the youngsters, and also the humiliation that it brings to humanity and humans in general. These are among the bad effects of it, which shows explicitly why Islam says and declares something as haram and forbidden to be touched and to be approached. So may Allah, so let's thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our ni'mah, the blessing of the religion of Islam, for bestowing us that beautiful religion that brings these blessings to us, that to gives us this philosophy, this beautiful philosophy that we need to ponder to see what are behind the layers of this philosophy that is actually worthy of pondering on. Many thanks, dear Sheikh, for explanations, and your respect and listeners for your staying tuned and listening to Q&A in Islamic Beliefs from IRB English Radio. Wassalamu alaikum.
Inna fil jannati nahran laban. Inna fil jannati nahran laban. Ali wa Hussein wa Hassan. Li Ali wa Hussein wa Hassan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن حب أهل البيت فرض عندنا حب أهل البيت فرض عندنا وبهذا الحب لا نخشى محن.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Indeed, the combination of low winter rainfall, fewer new shrubs and plant growth this spring, and a predicted dry summer are of great concern to climatologists and wildfire researchers. The upcoming wildfire season in the U.S. could top even 2020, which for the state of California was its most severe in modern history, says Nicole Carlis Ryder in an article titled Wildfire Researchers Forecast 2021 Fire Season in the U.S. That may be more severe than 2020. Stay tuned for the details, please.
Oh.
Earlier this April, researchers at San Jose State University's Wildfire Interdisciplinary Research Center in Northern California were gathering camis at Blackberry Hill, a site in nearby Santa Cruz Mountains. In the past few years, it was a site that they had revisited to gather samples of native shrub. While surveying the land at the site, the researchers made a disconcerting discovery. New green growth was nowhere to be found. Wow, never seen April Fools look so dry, the research center tweeted. In a separate tweet, the researchers stated that fire season in 2021 was looking grim. The reason? This year's live fuel moisture content, that is FMC, a metric which measures the ratio of moisture to natural combustible material, is historically low. Average fuel moisture content in the wild is 137%. Low is usually considered to be 115%. Right now, in 2021, the Northern California region is at 97%. Lower fuel moisture content means higher flammability and therefore higher chances of wildfires. Fire danger is a function of not only the weather, but the condition of the fuels. And the most important thing about the fuels is their moisture content, said Craig Clements, a professor and director of the Wildfire Interdisciplinary Research Center at San Jose State University. Clements said he was shocked that they didn't see new growth. Every year, for 2 weeks during the spring, Clements and his colleagues go to the same three sites near the Santa Cruz Mountains to take samples of scrub clippings to measure the FMC. Usually April is a good month for new growth and moisture. It's when Clements and other researchers expect to measure their highest FMC ratios. Hence why the low ratio and lack of new growth was so shocking. Clements checked in with other researchers who sampled various sites around the state of California and found that an astonishing number of sites are reportedly drier than normal. Some sites have new growth, but it's still not what we expect in a normal year, and this is directly related to drought, Clements said. No rain or low precipitation equals drier than average fuel moistures. Indeed, the state of California has found itself in yet another drought this year, meaning the likelihood of another severe wildfire season following a catastrophic 2020 wildfire season is high. But it's not just California. It's the entire West Coast that is poised to have a wildfire season more catastrophic than the last. Indeed, the combination of low winter rainfall, fewer new shrubs and plant growth this spring, and a predicted dry summer are of great concern to climatologists and wildfire researchers. The upcoming wildfire season could top even 2020, which for the state of California was its most severe in modern history. Over 10,000 wildfires tore through the state, nearly 4.2 million acres burned. Its northern neighbor, Oregon, also experienced one of its most destructive wildfire seasons in modern history, as did the state of Washington. In total, wildfires burned 10.2 million acres on the West Coast, killing at least 37 people and causing over $19.8 billion in damages. The long-term fire weather forecast doesn't look good, said Susan Pricard, a fire ecologist at the University of Washington. Pricard agreed that one of the main reasons was that in parts of all of California and a lot of the Southwest, fuels are very dry. Nicholas Bond, a climatologist for the state of Washington and principal research scientist at the University of Washington, said that the state of Washington had a higher-than-normal snowpack this winter, which was quite wet. That might seem like good news, yet historically there is a trend over the past decade of increasingly destructive wildfires each year. That trend is staring us in the face, Bond said. He noted that an anticipated hot, dry summer will cause the snowpack to melt. Even though we have right now an abundant snowpack right now, that's not going to last forever, he added. As the snow melts in the later part of the summer, the landscape dries out and becomes prime fuel for wildfires, with the exception of the highest elevations in the mountains. It helps to have those great snowpacks for various reasons. For forest health, it's a good thing, Bond said. But even if you have a good snow year, like we have right now, you can't have a bad fire season. In spring 2020, wildfire researchers began expressing their concern about a severe wildfire season. But strange weather events like lightning storms in California made matters worse. Bond said weather forecasters predict a hot and dry summer across the West Coast, but it can't be predicted now if there will be strong winds or similar storms. We can't anticipate whether we're going to have one of those weather events or not. Chances are there won't be anything of that severity this year. But that's kind of a wild card, Bond said. Climate change is a real thing, and this is one of the manifestations that we are having in the West. As Pricard explained, the fire season is not entirely in the hands of Mother Nature. There is a human factor too. The dice are loaded, but we still get to roll the dice, she said. Paraphrasing a colleague, I thought that was a perfect way to describe the upcoming fire season, because with these dry fuels and these longer, hotter, often windier summers that we are getting, but the variable that we don't know about is lightning and human fire starts. And that last possibility, of course, is preventable.
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio.